Tonight I preach a sermon I've entitled Dad's Wells, and I want to use Abraham and Isaac as an example. You know, Abraham was a well digger. He lived in a day where you couldn't turn on the tap and get water. He had to dig a well. Of course, he didn't do it. He had his servants dig them. But wherever he went, as he was traveling and as he moved to different places, as God took him to the promised land, and then God got him into that place where he wanted him, and then as he went to Egypt and then came back, he had animals, and those animals needed water to drink. His family needed water to drink. And so when they got to a place and were going to stay for a while, Abraham had his servants dig a well. And when they found water, Abraham named that well as a way of giving God praise for giving him that blessing of water. Well, when Abraham died, the Philistines said, and by the way, the only piece of property that Abraham owned in the land where God took him was his burial plot. He didn't own any other property. And so when he died, the people of the land, they said that, you know, this wasn't Abraham's land, this is our land, and so we're going to fill these wells in. And the verses we read said that after he died, they filled the wells in with earth. In other words, they filled up the holes with the dirt that, perhaps the dirt that they dug from those holes or other dirt, but they filled them in. Because they did not want God's blessing that had been on Abraham to pass to his son. They saw the wells as a source of blessing. And so they said, we don't want Isaac living here like his dad did. In fact, they tried to drive him out. But we don't want Isaac living here like his dad did. We don't want him taking the blessings from the land that's ours. And so we're going to fill up the wells that were the source of some of those blessings. And we're going to fill them up so that God won't bless Isaac. But Isaac realized that if he wanted the blessings of God, he had to go back to the same place that his dad did, to those same wells, and dig them again. Now, it's not my message tonight. I'll get to my message in a minute. But we're letting the Philistines, we as Americans, are letting the Philistines fill in too many of our father's wells. Our country was founded on the Bible. And our country, when it was young, read the Bible. They read it in schools. They read it in public places. The legislatures referred to it. And they prayed to God before they passed bills. And we're letting the Philistines, who, by the way, are the minority, not the majority, the minority, we're letting them fill in the well of being respectful and following God's word. This, again, I can't wait until the Philistines say, hey, we got to scrape all these scriptures off all these public buildings. And you say, well, they'll never do that. Oh, yes, they will. Sooner or later, they'll go to the Supreme Court. They'll go to other buildings in Washington. They'll go to places that have scriptures graved in stone. You see, our forefathers never wanted us to get away from building this country on the Bible. That's why they engraved them in stone. They never thought there would come a day where anybody would want to take those Bible verses off of those places that people visited. And yet I believe that day's coming. It's already here. We're letting the Philistines fill in the well that blessed our fathers. Obedience to God's word, respect for God's word. We let them fill in the well of prayer. Used to be a nation that prayed everywhere. They believed in a God that answered prayer. They went to God in prayer about everything. I'm not talking just about families. I'm talking about as a nation. I'm talking about from the very beginning. When those people were writing the Declaration of Independence, those men that wrote the Declaration of Independence, they sought the counsel of God in prayer. And we've let the minority of Philistines fill in that well of prayer. And I could go on. There's other wells that they filled up. Things that our fathers held sacred. Things that our fathers depended on. Things that our fathers got the blessings of God because they upheld and believed. And again, it's not my message tonight, but if we as a nation want to return to where we live under the blessings of God, we've got to go back and redig those wells. The blessings are not going to come any other way. They're only going to come as we get back to believing God, believing His Word, believing in prayer, standing for right, standing for decency, standing for morality, as defined in this book. Not as the world defines it, but as God defines it in this book. Now, that's not my message tonight. I'm getting to my message. So Isaac comes along. His dad is dead. He's seen the blessing of God on his dad. And he comes along. He needs the blessings of God on his life for his family. He needs the blessings of God. So he goes to the same places that his dad dug those wells. And the Bible says he dug them again. And he called them by the same name. And again, Abraham named those wells as a way of praising God for giving him the blessing of water, the blessing of life that came from that water. And Isaac said, I'm going to dig them in the same place because my daddy found water there. I know there's water there. I just got to get the dirt and the rocks the Philistines have thrown into that well. I got to get them out. I'll find the same water that my dad found. I'll get the same blessings that my dad got from the same God that blessed my dad. And so I'm going to dig the wells again, and I'm going to name them the same thing that my dad Abraham named them, because I want the blessings that my dad got from those wells. If we want the blessings in our homes, if we want the blessings of God in our families, we need to go to the same source that our dad went to. We need to go to the same source that blessed our fathers. We need to dig again the wells that our fathers dug. Now tonight, real quickly, I want to mention seven of those wells. And I'll be brief tonight. I know you all had a big day. I know some of you, I had to preach loud this morning because you ate a big breakfast and I saw you snoozing back there. And so I pounded on the pulpit when I thought it was appropriate just to keep you awake. And I'll do the same thing tonight to try to keep you awake for the next 10 or 15 minutes. But I want to mention seven wells that my dad drunk from, that your dad's drunk from. That caused God to bless them, caused God to bless their homes. And my point is tonight that we need to go back to those same wells to get the blessing of God on our homes. So here's the first one. You can keep track of my progress and know how much further I got to go by the numbers. Number one is the well of love. My dad, and I know many of your dads, drunk from that well of love. They love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They loved God with everything they had. And they also loved others. My dad loved my mom. There's no doubt in my mind. Now, he wasn't the mushy type. I mean, I never snuck in on them and saw them making out or anything like that. But I knew that my dad loved my mom. He didn't say it too many times in front of us. But they had a bond. I mean, my mom and I were talking about it the other day. My brother and his wife are like the Bickersons. They bicker about everything, and it just drives my mom batty when they come over and bicker in front of her, and she just has to zip her lip because she wants to say something to them. But I can never remember my mom and dad bickering. If they did it, they did it out of our earshot. They never did it in front of us. But I can tell you, I knew there was no shadow of doubt in my mind that my dad loved my mom. The thing that he was worried about the most when he got sick with cancer was that his wife, my mother, was going to be cared for. And when he was in his right mind, before he lost a little bit of it at the end, he insisted and talked to my middle brother and I about what we needed to do to take care of his wife, our mother. And we tried to stay true to doing that since he's been gone. But there was no doubt that he loved her. There was no doubt that he loved us. Now again, he wasn't the kind of dad that, you know, came into our room every night and said, I love you. But we knew he loved us. He took care of us. He fed us. He clothed us. He got us the necessities of life. We didn't have a lot, We weren't well off. He never made a lot of money in his jobs. When I got my first job at GM, I made more money than my dad made in any job that he had in his whole life. But we didn't have a lot. And so we didn't get everything that we wanted, but we got everything that we needed. We knew that he loved us. He loved his parents. He loved his mom and dad. I preached a funeral up in Midland several weeks ago about one of my dad's dear friends. And I told the story. The only time that I saw my dad cry was in the arms of the man that died a few weeks ago when we came home from the hospital and Mr. Moore told my dad that his mother, my grandmother, passed away. He loved his parents. He loved his in-laws. I saw him take care of my mom's mom and dad, just like he took care of his parents. And he drank from that well of love for everybody that he was around, everybody in the family. I want to tell you, if we want the blessings of God, we need to do the same thing. Husbands, you need to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, you need to love your husband. Parents, you need to love your children. Children, you need to love your parents. We need to love our in-laws and our outlaws and everybody in our family. Because if we want the blessings of God, we cannot expect them if we don't love one another. If that well is filled in your life, dig out the dirt. Dig out the stones. Dig in that well. Learn to love one another. Some of the sweetest couples I know are in this church. They've been married for 50, 60, some for 70 years, and they still love each other like they were newlyweds. I like that. It just blesses my heart. That's the way it ought to be. We ought to drink from that well of love. Number two, he drank from the well of discipline. We had rules in our home. And we had penalties for breaking those rules. Most of them we knew about. When we did something that was not covered by a rule, Dad made up a new one and assigned a penalty to that as well. He didn't let anything slide. If it appeared to be wrong, in his eyes, it was wrong. And I did not learn mercy from my dad. Now, every now and then, my mom was merciful in that she didn't tell on us. But I learned from my dad that if there was a rule and you broke that rule, there was a punishment that was due, and he made sure that punishment was delivered. I can hear him say, just like it was yesterday, this is going to hurt me worse than it's going to hurt you. And I've always wondered, as he got ready to swing the razor strap, how could that be? How could it hurt you worse, and it's worse than me? You're the one swinging the thing. I'm the one stopping it where it stops, and it's got to hurt me more than it hurts you. But he believed in discipline. He believed in teaching his sons that there were rules. There were right and there was wrong. You were rewarded for doing right. You were punished for doing wrong. We need to get back to that. We need to dig that well again. We are doing our children a disservice. Mercy is a wonderful thing, but too much mercy leads to wildness, leads to disrespect, leads to dishonor. If you're going to have a rule, enforce it. If you're going to have a rule, mete out the punishment. And again, it's wonderful every now and then to show mercy, but too much mercy ruins the child. Too much mercy spoils the child. They need to learn, and the best place they need to learn it is from mom and dad. Look, they're going to learn it somewhere. If you don't teach it to them, they're going to learn it when they get out there. And the judicial system is going to teach it to them. The school system is going to teach it to them. Somebody is going to teach them in their life that there's a right and a wrong. And when you do right, you get rewarded. And when you do wrong, you get punished. They're going to learn that lesson somewhere. The best place to learn it is from somebody that loves them. Dad, mom, at home. So dig again the well of discipline. Number three, the well of character. Say what you mean, do what you say. If Dad said that he was going to do something, he did it. If there was something that came up where he couldn't do it at the exact time that he said he was going to do it, I've seen him many times. I saw him many times call that person and say, look, I made you a promise I was going to get this done. Something's come up. I can't. I'm going to get it done by this date. Is that okay? He believed that when he made a promise, he believed that when he said to somebody he was going to do it, he believed it was important, it was paramount, that he had no choice. He had to get it done. He had to do what he said he was going to do. I remember my dad was, he worked two or three jobs. And one of the jobs he did was he reconditioned these HUD houses as they came back to the government before they sold them again. And I can remember when he first went and started that business, the realtor that was in charge of it says, we have contractors that work different ways. Some of them, they want a contract, and we sign a contract with them, but others don't need a contract. What would you like to do? And I can remember my dad saying, I don't need a contract. When I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. If I give you my word, I'm going to do it. We need to dig again that well. We need to dig again the well that says when we make a promise, we keep that promise. We need to dig again the well that says when we're going to do something, we're going to do it. We need to get back to where we have character in our lives. Not the kind of character that some people exhibit when we call them characters. But I'm talking about the character that says, if I say I'm going to do it, I do it. No, and nothing's going to stop me from doing it. I'm going to keep the promises that I've made. Number four, he drank from the well of hard work. My dad did not go to college. He did not finish high school. He never had a high-paying job. Most of my life, he worked two or three jobs at the same time. Kelly, just like your dad, he worked from early in the morning till late at night. We saw him early in the morning. Sometimes he would eat breakfast with us. We saw him on Saturday, although he had things to do on Saturday. Most of the time we saw him on Sunday. I'll talk about that in a second. But he taught us how to work. I can remember as a young, before I was a teenager, he would take me to these places that he was fixing up. And I think I've told you this story before. I started as the closet painter. That's what he let me paint, Connie, the closets. That's the only place that he would let me paint, the closets. I graduated from the closets after I got good enough at closets. I graduated to the bathroom. I could paint the bathrooms. When I got good enough in the bathrooms, I got to go into the bedrooms. When I got good enough in the bedrooms, and this was the pinnacle, I mean, you knew when you were arrived when Dad let you paint in the living rooms of those houses. And so he taught me how to work. He taught me how to work. I remember there was a year or so where there were so many of these houses that he got tired. He says, I can't handle all the ones I'm getting. And so they'd ask him to bid on a house. And he'd go in and bid on it. He figured out how much it was going to cost to recondition it. And then because he didn't want the job, he doubled the price. He got them. He got those jobs. And I can remember that year in the summer, he had a guy that worked with him. They were work on different shifts. My dad usually worked nights at the warehouse he worked with, and this other guy worked days. And then in the days, my dad would work on these houses, and this guy in the night would work on these houses. I remember one summer, I had to work with both of them. I mean, I'd go with my dad in the day, and then I'd go with Trav. That was his name, Travis. We called him Trav. He always asked a question first time he saw you. You think the rain will hurt the rhubarb? And then he'd answer the questions. Not if it's in cans, but he was a crazy guy. But I was working from early in the morning till late at night. I mean, I'd go home and I was so tired. But that summer, I learned what it was to work hard. And we need to drink from that well again. You know, there's nothing wrong with work. There's nothing wrong with working hard. Sometimes we make it too easy for our kids because, you know, we want our kids to have it better than we had it. Well, what's wrong with having it the same way we had it? We didn't turn out so bad. What's wrong with keeping, there's something wrong when we want to keep them from going through the same things that we did. If they want the same blessings in their life, they need to drink from the same wells that our dads drunk from and that many of us are drinking from. So he drank from the well of hard work. Number five, I got to hurry. He drank from the well of church attendance. He went every time the door was open. There was never a question when we got up on Sunday morning if we were going to Sunday school or if we were going to church or if we were going to church on Sunday night. I never heard my mom and dad discuss whether we were going or not. It was always we were going. If you lived in his house, you went to church. If you did not want to go to church, he would always say, move out. In fact, that's what happened to my middle brother. He moved out because he didn't want to go to church. Dad said, as long as you got your feet under my table, you're going to church. And it wasn't just a worship service. It was Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every revival service, every time the doors was open, he was there. I mean, unless he was working, if he was working, he made sure that Ma took us. And we went every time. We need to get back to that same well. Every service, if you're not working, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Number six, he drank from the well of gratitude. My dad was a thankful person. He expressed his gratitude freely. He expressed his gratitude to my mother over and over and over again. He expressed his gratitude to his parents. He expressed his gratitude to his in-laws. He expressed his gratitude to his friends. He expressed his gratitude to anybody that did an act of kindness to him. He was not a writer. He did not write thank you notes. But many, many times I've stood beside him as he's gone up to somebody else and said, thank you for what you did. Thank you for this thing that you did. And he drank from that well of gratitude. We need to drink from that same well. As people are kind to us, we need to recognize it. We need to be grateful for what they do. And then number seven, he drank from the well of teaching. He always looked for those moments to teach us. Whether it was about work, whether it was about tithing, whether it was about character, he always looked for a situation where he could take one of us or all of us. I can remember sitting in the living room when he would call a family meeting. One of my brothers had done something dumb. Of course, I'm sure I did my share of dumb stuff, but I don't remember as well as I remember theirs. But I can remember the family meetings he would call, and he'd gather the three boys. He'd have a set at his feet, and he would say, "Now he'd call us by name. He says, Daryl did this week. I want to use it as a teaching moment," and he would teach us how best to act, how Christian men should act. And again, I wish I could say, like Brother Gerald said a moment ago, I wish I could tell you I followed every bit of his advice. He did his best to teach me. I did not always follow his advice. I learned to pay the price for not following his advice. We need to drink from that well again. Every single one of you have teaching moments with your children and your grandchildren. Don't let them pass by. Don't take them for granted. Don't think, well, they'll come again. Sometimes those teaching moments only come once. Sometimes a lesson that God wants you to impart to them, you only have that opportunity. Take advantage of it. Drink from that well of teaching. And again, I've shared some things about my dad. I'm sure those things are true about many of the dads that you have had in your life. If we want the same blessings that they have, we've got to drink from those same wells. They're wells that the Philistines and the world have tried to fill in. They've tried to say, well, these things are not important anymore. There's alternatives for every single one of them. Well, why should we settle for a substitute? The substitute doesn't work as good as the real thing. Let's dig the wells again. Let's drink from the same wells they did. We want the same blessings they had. We got to drink from the same wells. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the example. Some have testified tonight about the influence that their fathers have had on them. And I thank you for all of us tonight for putting fathers in our lives, fathers that loved you, fathers that loved us, fathers that cared and taught and sacrificed to help make us what we are today. I pray we'd never take their testimony. We never take their influence for granted. That Father, we would be thankful and we would praise you for putting dads like that in our life. And so I pray for all the fathers that are here tonight. I pray, Father, that you would help us to be what we need to be. Regardless of the stage of our fatherhood that we're in, you would help us to be the fathers that we need to be. And then, Father, I pray if there is somebody here tonight, I don't know of anybody, but if there is somebody here tonight that's never received Christ, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you've been dealing with them, that you've helped them see their sin, help them see their need for a Savior, and tonight that you would just draw them to Jesus Christ. If there's just one that's not sure about their home in heaven, help them make sure tonight by coming to the cross, by coming to the Savior. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.